Saga Egmond presents Operation Ironheart by Martina Andre. Read by Heather Henriques.
Prologue. The Killing Fields, Alation Plateau, Gobi Desert, April 2056. True Love. Out of nowhere, a fleet of automatic Pan American drones sounded over the Alation Gobi Desert, instantly covering the higher plateau in a huge cloud of fine sand. Damn it, thought Jack bitterly. If only these idiots had turned up an hour earlier, things could have been very different. Instead, their arrival now only intensified the catastrophe by hurling the surrounding dirt into the wounds of the injured. The advancing troops of the Pan-Asian Front had rapidly transformed the plateau into a place of slaughter, and slaughter was the only word for it. The wreckage of destroyed tanks and anti-aircraft guns lay everywhere, and among them, the mortal remains of fallen soldiers for whom rescue had come too late. Jack sharpened his senses to penetrate the yellow fog in which some human hybrid soldiers from his unit were stumbling around as if trapped in an invisible maze. Even though their human bodies had been fitted with a whole host of robotic technology, they were still far more prone to injury than Jack, who as a full combat robot had some advantages not available to a hybrid soldier. These included highly sensitive visual electronics implanted in his brain. They were more reliable in extreme situations than an artificial system and gave him reasonable visibility across the 500-metre-high dunes, despite the man-made sandstorm. He looked like he was the only one in his unit to survive the disaster. But this was more due to coincidence than his considerable military abilities. In this attack, however, none of them had stood a fair chance, whether they were a combat robot or a hybrid soldier. Not for the first time, Jack wondered which knuckleheads in high command were calling the shots. It was bad enough that they were now recruiting humans to fight, and against their will too. But to make matters worse, they were falling back on human instinct rather than using artificial intelligence, and increasingly using airstrikes instead of traditional ground fighting, simply to make it more exciting for the clueless audience out there. Drone strikes may have always provided spectacular images, but they made no sense when the strategy was supposed to be all about pitting man against man. He hurriedly checked the internal and external sensors that showed him whether his 2-metre body and any of its 120 kilogram of muscle mass had suffered any damage. Visually and physically, if you disregarded his impossibly perfect physique, he was practically indistinguishable from a human. As a robot, he always had the advantage that virtually any component of his body could be replaced by a spare part, grown using biotechnology. Even the nerve centre in his head was replaceable. The highly complex quantum processor, structured exactly like a functioning human brain, reported a slight burn just above his right calf. He'd been hit by an overheated slither from a fragmenting grenade, and the heat-resistant material of his fatigues had melted. Nothing to be particularly worried about, thought Jack, before moving off to look for soldiers more seriously injured than him, who he might be able to help before it was too late. As he tramped through the mountains of debris, he heard the groans of his human comrades everywhere. Robots didn't do that. They suffered in silence, as he knew from his own experience. Some of the humans were crying, even though before the mission they'd been pumped full of pain-relieving drugs that were supposed to suppress any human emotion. Jack searched through all the human bodies on the ground for one specific man, whose life he had already saved once, and who he now called his friend. It was this man who had given him his human name, as Jack didn't have a real name. Even though combat robots were built to have unique human appearance, they only bore a serial number, visible under a special laser. Hybrid soldiers also had a number in the same place that registered their physical data. Not knowing where to start looking for his friend, Jack activated his built-in scanner so he could read each soldier's QR code, even through their uniform. He had a vague idea of where the man he was looking for had been before the attack. He was a part of his unit, and he'd seen him and wished him a safe return at morning roll call. Later on, he'd met him beneath the huge dunes where most of his men were gathered for safety, albeit in vain. When he finally saw him lying on the ground, he initially felt relief, but a second look immediately extinguished it.